Hello, and welcome to the Covenant Fellowship Podcast. We are so glad you've joined us. Today's message is here to help you preach the good news everywhere in your day-to-day life. Here at Covenant Fellowship, we accomplish this by encountering God, loving people, and serving others with everything we've got. Now let's dive in.
Let me share some word with you. Are you ready? I want to just get into the Word of God. We're in a series called Life Hacks. I want to share this with you. I'm going to preach quick because I believe today, I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart and said today was a day of impartation. So we're going to have them actually before they go out to the foyer along with our elders and leadership. We're going to pray for people. I just believe today is a day of impartation. We're going to pray for people. We're just going to lay hands on people and in a commissioning way, send you forth as missionaries into your homes, into your families, into your places of influence. And I believe that as a result of you just participating today, God is going to anoint you. You're already anointed, but I believe you're going to see a strategic release today. I believe that's going to happen for your life today. So how many are ready for God to do what he wants to do in your life? Say amen. Amen. I am too. I want to go to the next level. God spoke to me first off in this early part of this, or before this year, that this would be a year of acceleration. I'm hearing that seemingly everywhere I go, and especially for our local church, we want to accelerate in what God's calling us to do. I said this would be a time of big hope, big faith, and big expectations. And to move at the speed of God, I believe the Lord has given us a series here to really get serious with Him. It's foundational. Because we're talking about salvation, we're talking about the Word of God, we're talking about prayer, we're talking about tithing and giving, we're talking about the foundational things of the church. But I feel like sometimes that people are wanting something new and something fresh, but they don't even have the foundations right yet. And I believe if you can't go on to anything without the foundation. In other words, you can't put the roof up without the foundation. You can't put the walls up. You don't have a sink to put in your house unless you have the foundations done. And some think they have the foundations, but I'm telling you, in reality, I believe that one of the things that's happening in the church is that we're losing the foundations. I believe people like the idea of going to heaven, but don't know what it means to be really saved and born again. I believe people like some of the Word of God, but they don't like the entirety of the Word of God. I believe people like to use the scriptures like they do a buffet, pick and choose what you like. But how many of you know we're to preach the full gospel of the Lord? We're here to preach and teach the fullness of the Lord. And I believe we got to have a good understanding of what praying and seeking God looks like. Because the Lord said some things about how we would pray and how we would seek Him, that there would be results. He said, if you would believe, if you would ask and believe in your heart, that it would be done. And I don't know about you, but I've prayed many times and not seen anything move. And I said, God, you got to teach me about this whole prayer, believing thing. Because if your kingdom is going to be done, it's got to be done through people who know how to pray. And I believe the disciples wrestled with that themselves. So they go to the Lord and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. As John taught his disciples to pray, and you guys know, we could probably repeat the Lord's Prayer. He taught them the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, and forever and ever. But that's a powerful prayer in and of itself, but it's an outline to help people to understand that above all things, God's got to be first, high and lifted up. And I don't have the time to go through and break down the Lord's Prayer with you, but I want to give you some five key points about prayer. I want to give you some things that I believe will help you about prayer and fasting that I believe will help you tremendously. Because listen to me, the Word of God is important. It's supreme, okay? But I need you to understand something. I need you to understand the principle. Sometimes we are operating on what God said rather than what God's saying. Now, I know some of you might not get that, but I want you to understand something. If Abraham would have only heard what God said, he would have killed Isaac. But because he also was able to hear what God was saying when the knife was up here, he stopped. And I believe that sometimes we've been dealing with God 3:16. God so loved the world, but God's really ready to say something different to you today. Not that he would reveal some truth, but that an old truth would be fresh. In other words, you need a rhema word from God. You can open up the Bible and get a scripture. But what is God saying today? Scripture is always going to be important. It's always going to be foundational. But God is going to give you something specific for today. Something specific for now. It's time to learn to hear the voice of God at the next level so that you're not just depending on what God said. You know what God is saying. So how many of you know that's good right there? So let's go to some scripture. I want you to stand for the reading of God's word. Stand with me right quick. Stand up. Let's do this right quick. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 17, it's going to be on the screen for you. The Bible says, and when they had come down the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water, so I brought him to your disciples so that they could cure him. Jesus answered and said, but they could not cure him. Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and perverse generation. Wow, he's saying something about faithfulness and perverse. Perversion basically means a different version. He said, you're faithless and you're using some different version. I need to give you the correct version so that you have authentic faith so that this man could be well. And watch this. Watch this as this begins to unfold. He says, perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of him and the child was cured from that very hour. Then disciples came to him privately saying, I love the disciples. I mean, I do. I mean, because I can find myself in that picture. I can say, wait a minute. Now it worked for somebody else. It's supposed to work for me, and I need to know why. I need to hear what the Lord is saying. How many know private communication with the Lord is going to yield you something? If your only prayer time is here at church, friend, you're never going to step over into the next dimension of what God has called you to do. They came to him privately. How many know God's going to say things privately to you that's going to result in public display of his goodness? God's seeking intimacy, and close proximity is what he's after. You don't shout secrets out, you say them privately. They came to Jesus privately saying, why could we not cast it out? Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. Wait a minute. Unbelief. Unbelief. Sometimes we make unbelief like it's faithless. The truth is, though, how did it get there? How did unbelief happen? In other words, my shoe is tied. How would it be untied? Somebody grabbed the string and pulled one at a time. Until what it used to be now is no longer anymore. I believe God wants to retie some things so that your faith is firmly established. He said, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as of a mustard seed, how many know God doesn't want it to stay there? That's a good starting point. You shall say to the mountain, move from here, and it'll move. Nothing is impossible. However, this kind does not go out except but by prayer and fasting. Will you take a second to pray for me? I'm going to pray for you, and let's ask God to move. Father, I love you, and I thank you for your anointing and your blessing. Father, I pray for this precious family of people. Impart something so powerful to us that changes us forever. I love you, and I thank you for what you're about to accomplish in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord for just a few minutes. The whole reason, the thought behind this series, as the Lord spoke to my heart to preach the foundations, the title I came up with called Life Hacks. I likened it to someone that basically you've got the natural course of things going on. The program is supposed to work a certain way, but when a hack gets into it, it shifts the way that it works. And I used it from the standpoint of, if you remember when we first started this series, talking about the soul that sinneth, it shall die. In other words, because we've sinned, the end result is that then death rests upon us. I could use Ephesians and Galatians, Colossians, and other books of the Bible to talk to you about how that when God refers to the person that is without Christ or without God is dead in trespasses and sins. In other words, because that's the assignment. The assignment is eternal death. But the hack to us all leading to eternal death is life in Christ Jesus. It is the gift of God, the life of Christ Jesus, the blood, the cross, the gospel message. And when we put faith and believe in that, then death is hacked. Now we have life, and life more abundantly. And then we moved on into the Word of God, and we talked about the wisdom of the world. The Bible says that it is fleshly, it's carnal, it's temporary. It basically leaves you identityless. You don't know who you are. You don't know why you're here. You don't know how things are supposed to operate, how things are supposed to go. And then the world tries to tell you. And as a result of the world trying to tell you, we are in an identity crisis. People don't know if they're humans or animals, don't know if they're boys or girls, don't know if they're up or down. Identity crisis. But the hack to the world's knowledge and wisdom is the Word of God. Because in it is the lamp unto your feet, a light into your path. It is wisdom that is from another world. It is wisdom that is higher than man's wisdom. It's God's wisdom imparted to man from the Bible, from the Word of God. But now we're trying to figure out how to navigate in such a way where we're not just hearing what God says, but what is God saying now? And what is the hack that we need right now? What we need right now is we need clear and concise communication for what God is saying today. And the best way that I know how to do that is true, authentic prayer and fasting. Somebody say prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Jesus in this Matthew 11 story is saying to his disciples, there's a whole thing happening. There's a reason you couldn't cast this out. There's a reason this didn't move. It has to do with your unbelief, your perverse way of thinking, and it has to do with your little faith. And all of these things work together, but you're not going to get there unless you understand the importance of fasting and praying. And that's why the first of the year, we gave you this 100 days of glory. And in this 100 days of glory, to help you to establish your walk with God, to be in the Word of God every single day. Now, we're doing it for 100 days, but I believe that if you get into the routine and the habit and find the power and the person of God in the Word of God, you'll never stop reading the Bible. I believe you experience His goodness. I have been praying for you every day that you would experience God in the Word of God. You're not just reading words, but that you're breathing in God as you're taking your journey through the Word of God. And also we put some outline of some things to pray and to help you to pray, not just ask God for stuff, but to declare over your life things that God's already said about your life. That's important. It's very important to be able to make those declarations. You know, when Jesus began to pray, he said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me and you hear me always. That's a declaration. He's talking to God, but he's making a declaration that he's being heard. So I want to give you some things about prayer and fasting that I think you're going to need. Number one, it causes you to rely on God. If you fast and if you pray, I believe it causes you to rely on God. Number one, what is fasting? Fasting is doing without. Specifically, something in the Bible that most people fasted was food. something that you need to be able to survive. When you make the decision to say, more than the survival of my body and more than the survival of my flesh, I need the survival of the spirit. Because there's a higher dimension to me than just my body. Some people say you have a that you're a body and that you have a soul and a spirit. That's not true. You're a soul and a spirit, and you have a body. You're an eternal soul and spirit, and you have a body. This can only be stewarded. Come on, somebody. But the soul and the spirit last forever. The question is where are you going to be forever? But when you say more than this body needs what it wants, the spirit man needs what it needs. I have to have God. And when you say, I'm going to deprive the body so that I can focus in on the spirit, man, it helps you to start to rely on God. Food is a basic need for life, and it's one of life's great pleasures. But if you can set it aside to focus on God, you'll begin to see how much more you need God and find the true pleasure. The Bible talks about in His presence, His fullness of joy, and His right hand are pleasures evermore. I find that sometimes the reason people don't serve God well is that they don't find the pleasure of serving Him. They don't find the pleasure of what it means, what it really means to be in His presence. Because they go into His presence fully charged up by the needs of the carnal. And so we go with the needs of the carnal. We've got to have it, otherwise we think we're not going to make it. And God says the carnal secondary, everything that's carnal is going to pass away. And when you focus in on the spiritual, friend, I'm telling you now, you'll find the pleasure of walking with God. Friend, listen to me. If you find the pleasure of being in the presence of God through prayer and fasting, as much as you know that the fasting season will come to an end, I've come to understand that it is a great dread for me when a fast comes to an end. You know, like when I first started fasting and I didn't really understand of getting into the presence of God and getting into the pleasure of being in His presence uninhibited by fleshly carnal ideas and thought processes, when I didn't understand that, I couldn't wait for a fast to come to an end. I'm ready to go chow down. But when you've fasted and you've prayed and you've understood the pleasure of being with God, I'm telling you, there's this inner dread that comes with breaking a fast. This inner dread of, oh no, I recognize that I live in a world that is filled with carnality. And I have to associate with the world from a carnal side of myself. Meaning, there's things I've got to have. There's things I've got to rest. I've got to eat. I've got to brush my teeth. That keeps me sensitive to the world in this dimension. But if I'm going to be effective for the kingdom, I've got to be sensitive to the spirit. Because the greater need of humanity is from the realm of the spirit. And the truth is in prayer and fasting, it'll help you to cause you to rely on God. Psalm 63:1 in the English Standard Version says, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly," King James says, "early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water." That word early or that word earnestly or early means first. God, I gotta seek you first. There's no wonder why God loved David so much. Not because David was so perfect and not because David was so holy, but because David knew how to seek God first. Matthew 6:33, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then everything else will be added to you." God moves and supplies where there's people that are willing to pray and fast and put Him first. I want to go ahead and share some things with you visionarily. Throughout this year, there's going to be seasons and moments and times of intense fasting, praying, and seeking God. Not only in our seek weeks, but we're going to be very, very intentional. I need us fasting and praying before Easter service. I am tired of the great win of Easter service, seeing the house full but little life change. I believe the only way we're going to see life change is by doing the spiritual work as well. We tend to do the natural work. We do the inviting. We send out the invite cards. We do the giveaways. We extend the services. We do everything that we can. But we cannot leave out the spiritual, because it's not going to be enough just to get a crowd of people in. It's going to be when the power of God invades this house and when people really see their need for the Lord. And that will happen when a church gets right about praying and seeking the face of God. Don't let it just depend on pastor's good message. Don't let it just depend on pastor's preaching. Don't let it just depend on a great worship set. It's got to depend on all of us seeking the face of God together and all of it working together so that somebody experiences the power and the breakthrough of God. I'm thankful for days like Mother's Day, but this year, you know what? We're going to make sure that we communicate to everybody. Mother's Day is not just going to be a day about giving away pedicures and flowers and spa days. It's going, this Mother's Day and Father's Day, we're going to have a prayer line, a fire tunnel prayer line for every mama and every daddy. And anybody that wants to get free and empowered by the Spirit of God can. If they want spa days, and again, I'm not against those things, but what we have to offer people, friend, the world can outgive us. They can give more spa days away than we can. They can do more than we can on a practical level, but they cannot give the spiritual away. That only belongs to the kingdom of God, and the only way we'll have the power and the authority to be able to do it right is when we seek the face of God in prayer and fasting. In just a couple of weeks, we will have our first Seek Week of 2023. On Wednesday night, we're moving the night of worship from Thursday to Wednesday. And that I'm asking everyone that will to come on a Wednesday night and let's seek the face of God. I don't care if you come dirty from work. I don't care if you come stinky from work. I don't care what, just come and let's seek the face of God. This church has to understand the power of prayer and fasting. Number two, prayer and fasting will cause you to be more yielded to the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. I find that the majority of our problems that we face in any given time could have quickly been healed and cured if that we would have yielded to the fruit of the Spirit. The reason that we have so many marriage problems is because we're not yielded to the fruit of the Spirit. Come on, somebody. Yes, it's a lot of the reason we have a lot of dysfunction is because the lack of the fruit of the Spirit. How many of you know in prayer and fasting, you get the fruit and the fire of the Holy Spirit? In prayer and fasting, it'll bring the fruit and the fire of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 13, verses 2 through 4 says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. That's interesting. I don't have time to break that down, but they ministered to the Lord. How many times do we want God to minister to us? God, heal me, fix me, correct me, change me, shift me, do this, do that, bless me. But the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord. Have you ever thought of ministry to the Lord? I know you've thought of ministry for the Lord, but have you thought of ministry to the Lord? Ministry for the Lord looks like you serving someone else. Ministry to the Lord looks very different than that. I don't have time to go in all of it. I'd like to unpack all of that for you. But they ministered to the Lord. Now, I do believe it's in prayer, but I believe it's prayer in a different way. Because in a prayer, in a way that ministers to God, it's kind of like this. He's our Abba Father. So let me just kind of maybe help just a little bit. If my kids come to me and say, Dad, can I borrow $1,000? If I got $1,000, I want to help them. But I am in turn ministering to them. But if my kids come to me and they don't want $1,000, Dad, I just want to be with you. I want to say thank you for being such a great dad in my life. I want to thank you for always being there for me, Dad. I want to thank you for praying for me. I want to thank you for helping me. I don't need anything from you today, but just know that I'm thankful for you being my dad. Do you know what that does? That ministers to me. When you know how to really pray, you know how to minister to the Lord. And listen, sometimes we'll fast for what we want. They're fasting and praying here. You understand? They're fasting and praying, ministering to the Lord. so that the impetus of their fast is not, I need the devils to die and I need breakthrough. It's, I just want to for God to know how much I love him. How many have ever fasted just to say, God, I love you? Don't raise your hand. But how many of you ever just fasted and said, listen, I know I need my kids saved. I know I need all kinds of stuff happening. But today, I don't want to fast to ask you for anything but a seat before your throne to tell you how much I love you and how thankful I am for you and what all you've done for me. As they ministered and fasted, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, here, see, that's a key. When you're doing, if you're having trouble hearing the Holy Spirit, then start ministering to the Lord and you'll start hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's hard for you to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit if all you're doing is asking from the Lord, because the enemy can manipulate your carnal man at that time. I need to say that again. If all your prayer life consists of asking from the Lord, the enemy can manipulate your carnal man. He can toy with your emotions and take you down a path you never were intended to go. But the way this sheep know his voice and a stranger they don't follow is they get in his face to minister to him. It is in that minister to him that you're not looking for him to say anything to you. You're looking for him to hear your heart toward him. But it is in that moment that the Spirit will speak to you, which is very clearly. And he says, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Watch this. Then they fasted and prayed. So they're fasting and praying to just minister to the Lord. And then when the Lord gives them instructions, they fast and pray again to lay hands on. How many are getting this? The lifestyle of the Christian is a fasting, praying lifestyle. He didn't say if you fast. He said when you fast. That's what he said in the Sermon on the Mount. Not if you fast, when you fast. How many are glad we're in 100 days of fasting, praying, and seeking the Lord? One or two hands. The rest of you, hopefully you'll catch this before too long. It's not too late for you to start. Some people are fasting breakfast. Some people are fasting lunch. Some people are fasting dinner. Some people are fasting coffee. Some people are fasting social media. Some people, and I only said fast something, but spend that time getting into the presence of God. The Bible says when they fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them. Listen, and then they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Listen to me. After you read this, after you read the entire missional impact that these people made on the world, there's no doubt that the fruit and the fire of God's Holy Spirit was up on them, and it all began from a praying and fasting meeting. God will do things when people pray and fast. Number three, fasting and praying will cause you to be very sensitive to the voice of God. Your flesh wants you to be sensitive to it for selfish desires. But the Bible says in Galatians 5, he said, if you walk in the Spirit, that you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And there's no greater way to walk in the Spirit than to fast and to pray, seeking the face of God. Number four, fasting and praying gives you power in spiritual warfare. Fasting and praying gives you power in spiritual warfare. When Jesus said, however, in Matthew 17, verse 21, he said, however, this does not come except through prayer and fasting. You need to understand that prayer and fasting is your spiritual muscle. Prayer and fasting is your spiritual muscle. You want to see God do something? Pray and fast about it. That's got to be a regular part of your life. That's got to be a regular part of your ministry. How many of you are tired of getting your teeth kicked in by the enemy? I'll tell you how you stop that. Fast and pray. Prayer and fasting. Number five, fasting and prayer creates an environment for miracles. It's faith in action. When you say you believe that God is a healer, you fast and pray because you believe it's going to happen. It's a high expression of your faith in the Lord. You're fasting, you're praying, and you're believing. And what Jesus was trying to help those people to understand is that he's saying to them, your faith isn't working. And they're like, I don't understand why my faith isn't working. He said, because it was perverse in the way that it came about. If you go back to the Old Testament, they were fasting. They were praying. But God said, is not this the fast that I have chosen? And you, if you go back and study that in Isaiah, they were fasting for their own carnal needs, their own carnal ways. And God said, here's the fast that I've chosen, that you undo heavy burdens, that you let the oppressed go free. He said, this is the kind of fast that I am choosing. Listen to me, friends. When we get a burden to fast and pray, to believe for others, believe for their miracle, believe for their breakthrough, I believe that's why we're here. We're here to be God's expression of his authority, his anointing, and his power. Jesus said, your faith is messed up because you're not placing it correctly. You're not doing it correctly. And when he begins to talk to them about their doubt and unbelief was connected to their prayer life. And their prayer life connected to their fasting. Prayer and fasting is something that we've got to do. But when Jesus drew himself aside to pray and fast, no demon ever withstood him. No demon was ever able to come against him. No sickness was ever able to stay. No heart was too hard to change because of his goodness in praying. He often drew himself away at times and would pray, fast, pray all night. It's an extremely important thing, and I'm excited about the fact that we're in a fast and praying right now. You know what that tells me? To those of you that are in this room that have needs, you're at the right place today. Your breakthrough's coming. All you got to do is respond to this altar here in just a few minutes. All you got to do is come up and let's believe God together. We're in a season of fasting and praying. And what wouldn't move a month ago will move today. What was tormenting you weeks ago won't torment you anymore after today. Why are you sound so cocky and so arrogant? I don't mean to sound cocky and arrogant. I mean to sound humble under the mighty hand of God and brag about the fact that my God will move it. Because he said he would move it if we would fast and pray. And for the last 22 days, we've been fasting and we've been praying. And we've got more to go. But I can tell you now, things will change today. I want you to stand with me. I got one more thing. Worship team, will you come back? I found something, though. Found something that shook me in the scriptures. I ask myself a question. Is there a time that praying and fasting won't work? I found a passage of scripture that shakes me. And I don't know, when I read this passage of scripture, I don't know if this fits you. I don't know if it will land in your lap or not. My hope is that if it does, that we deal with it today. Because there's a God in heaven who wants to respond to your praying, who wants to minister to your life, who wants to touch you. No doubt about it. I found a verse that shows how this whole praying thing won't work. It comes from Psalm 66, verse 18. Here's what it says. I want to read it to you. He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Wait. I thought he could hear everything. He can. But when the Bible talks about hearing, it's deeper than you think it is. In the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and chapters 3, there's seven churches there mentioned. And at the closing of his discourse with each church, he would say, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. In other words, you've got to listen deeper. Hearing has to go down very, very deep. And the Lord says, a prayer that has a regard for iniquity, I'm not going to hear that. I'm not going to let that land deep. Not because I can't hear it, but it's an exercise in futility to pray with regard for iniquity in our hearts.
And that wraps up this episode of the Covenant Fellowship Podcast. For more information about who we are, please visit us at cfbristol.com or check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We hope that you have a blessed day. And as always, just like we find in Isaiah 60, verse 1, we hope you arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you.